The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Okay. Well, hello, folks. Welcome. Hour two of the National Intel Report on Wednesday. I'm William Rapillum. And tonight I'm interviewing brother and sister guest, Monica and Alfred Schaefer, who spent time in German prison for thought and speech crime of Holocaust denial. They committed the heinous Holocaust denial speech crime, thought crime law that nobody is allowed to question. This event, you're not allowed to question it. If you do question it, you'll be thrown in prison, especially if you're in Germany. And I don't, at least 16, 22 other companies, I've lost count because they keep adding new countries to the number of countries that have enacted this this thought crime law. Alfred, do you happen to know, have that information on where we're at currently with that? I know that it's not shrinking.
No, I don't have the numbers, but it shows us the power of these Jews, that all of these organizations, like the United Nations, is a pure Jewish organization. And it was when Israel was created in 1948, one of the first prime ministers said, you know, with this Holocaust, and they didn't yet have it programmed into our minds yet, but they were preparing for it. He says, then we can do anything we want. And we have to see Israel as being a true rogue state for a criminal syndicate of the highest order, a nuclear-armed crime syndicate that thinks they can indoctrinate all of humanity to believe certain nonsense, just like it once was that the Earth was the center of the universe. The high priests were telling us that. Well, of course, now it's the United Nations is defining the Holocaust as the center of the universe, and that is written up in the law. And all these laws are nothing more than blots of toner on paper. We have to understand that. We are finding our way back to the real truth, and the farther they take this utter nonsense, the more severe will be the retribution coming their way. And they know that. That's why they're in such panic right now. They want us
right.
to be at each other's throats kind of thing, and they can sneak out the back door with the loot. But it's not going to work because it's on a global scale this time. So this is a true existential crisis now for all of humanity on this planet. And it'd be a I just cannot see us actually going down because of this, this parasite. I think we've got it in us to deal with it, but that's why we're having these shows now. And another thing that's important, before you were talking about, the millions, the countless millions that were butchered in what was Russia, it was the Soviet Union, the Communist mm-hmm. Revolution. You mentioned a figure of 30 million. It's actually quite a lot more than that.
I was just talking about before World War II.
Okay, because a lot of the deaths were afterwards. They were in the 50s and so forth. And mm-hmm. and Alexander Solzhenitsyn is crucial reading to understand how mm-hmm. gruesome, how horrible these things came to pass in the Soviet Union. I mean, it was just horrible. And we've got exactly the same thing coming to us if we don't stop it. Like, we
right.
are we are toast if we don't get it done. And we all
exactly. Yeah, that's the crux of it right there.
Yeah. And the people also have to understand that these world wars, the Jews have since about 100 years, they figured out that with three world wars, they can ascend the throne of this planet and rule this planet forever then. And the first two world wars were the divide and conquer of the European peoples. And this next one now that we're seeing now, we are well into the third chapter of this big war of the Jews to conquer this planet. This is now what we're seeing now is the COVID, the rat poison, injecting all the people with something, and this is now the real this is it, the do or die moment. I mean, and thank God people are waking up. I mean, there's nothing that we could do with all our effort that comes anywhere close to waking up the people as fast as what they are doing to wake the people up, because they are just basically shitting in our face and asking us to eat it and pay for it, and it doesn't taste so good. So that's where we're at right now, is the absolute global awakening.
Yeah, and it's nothing new. I mean, World War II is a great example of what you said, defecating in our faces and making us go over and fight for our own demise and tell us that we're fighting for freedom. All we did in World War II, and, God bless our men that went and fought for what they thought was freedom. That's what they were told, and there was no way for anybody to counter that narrative at that time. There was no internet. But it's just simply false. That's not what we went over and did. We went over and helped world communism defeat the kind of the last hope for the world, for Europe, that had that it was really actually even Patton. So General Patton, everybody knows what a hero Patton was. He at the end of the war realized that he had been schnookered, and that we had fought the wrong enemy. He came up through the underbelly of Europe, and he fought the Battle of the Bulge, which was totally unnecessary and was caused by Eisenhower stalling supplies from getting to his battalion. And then they ended up murdering him. He was sending letters to his wife trying to tell the truth about what was going on, and he mentioned the Jews, and it was very Semitic. And after that, then Eisenhauer, the traitor, who's lauded as some kind of hero, he killed 1.5 or two, somewhere between 1 and 2 million German soldiers by circumventing the Geneva Convention definition of a POW by calling them disarmed enemy combatants, or I think that's the wrong word, but it's disarmed.
No, that's correct. That's correct.
Disarmed enemy something.
Combatants, that is correct, I do believe.
Yeah.
Disarmed enemy combatants, DEC, yeah.
Yeah, and you want to talk about a Holocaust, they just put them in a giant open dirt field and just let them rot to death without any food or water. People who tried to come and feed them or give them food through were shot at. And this is not talked about in our media. I mean, this is just one of many genocides that took place. You look at the analogy of the Alien, the movie Alien, where the alien comes out from inside. You could think of the United States got taken over by this alien, the Jewish the Jewish power of the world, the international Jew, coming out of the inside of the stomach of the person that got infected with the alien, using us to do this terrible dirty work, this absolutely satanic dirty work. Go ahead, Monica.
Yeah, William, I'll never forget the day that Saturday Night Magazine came out with an article about James Bach's book, Other Losses. So this article came out in a mainstream magazine, and my dad was pacing around the house. He was all at the same time, he was feeling anger, relief, a lot of emotions, positive and negative, and he was just raging and ranting about, look, see, look what they did to the Germans. Look, finally, somebody's telling another side. Look what they did to the Germans. They're only ever saying all the things that the Germans did. And I mean, he didn't even say, you know, that anything about lies and this and that, because they were indoctrinated into believing all those lies by then too, right? But he was so relieved and happy that, but also angry and agitated because of this story. That Other Losses is that book by James Bach, a mm-hmm. Canadian author, that talks about those death camps. And because Dad was in there, Alfred and my father was in one of those camps. And
oh,
he
wow.
did.
I didn't
yes.
know that.
Yeah. So this was very pertinent to our own family. So anyway, he says that in that camp, between a quarter and a third of the people that were in the one that he was in, which was really close to Bad Kreuznach in Germany, between a quarter and a third of the people died. And he says, you know, people would come in strong, these soldiers would come in strong and fit, and within days they were basically crawling on the ground, and then, you know, every day the truck would haul away corpses and whatnot. So it was brutal, and they would be using their spoons that they had to dig a bit of a hole in the ground to have shelter from the elements. There was no shelter. They were just exposed to the elements. It was cold, wet, windy, you know. So yeah, no wonder they got sick. They died by the many, and I think you mentioned maybe 1.5 million. There's different estimates of how many, but it was many, and it was deliberate. It was a deliberate strategy to get rid of as many Germans as possible. And I don't, most people do not know, we certainly don't learn this in school, that more Germans died after the war than during the war. Did you know that? Like, it's just incredible. It's mind-boggling. It's hard to believe. But something like 12 million Germans died after the war. Like, the bombs stopped dropping. It was still war. Basically, the war never stopped, did it? But the hot phase of World War II ended. And then millions of Germans died in various ways. Like, there were all the expellees, you know, from the what is really should be called Middle Germany, but it then came to be the East, you know. But anyway, all those expellees, many of those died, and then many Germans were just brutally raped and murdered. And I mean, it was just brutal. So yeah, that's interesting. And just to go back to your earlier comment at just
can
after
just
the top
interject yeah. one second, Monica, the you said, like, look at how many people are now being killed, slaughtered with the COVID nonsense, rat poison injections in this great peace that we have. This is allegedly peacetime. No, this is not peacetime. This is a continuation of that war of the Jew against primarily the Aryan stock people, the white race, because we fall into the category of the best of the Goyim deserve to be slaughtered. You have to understand all these, you know, lines of code that drive these Jews. The best of the Goyim deserve to be slaughtered. Whether it's in starvation camps like the Germans were slaughtered, they wanted to send 20,000 doctors into Germany to sterilize all males who were still alive. And then with a team, they could also do the same thing with all the women. They really wanted to have Germans exterminated from the face of this earth as the first stage of dealing with the rambunctious white race, the white race that has tossed these parasites out hundreds of times. The Jews finally wanted to deal with them so they can rule this planet. But the Jew, that whole system is a disease. It's a parasitic entity. And that's it. If the Jew were to win and actually have us exterminated, then it's the end of civilization on this planet for humanity for all time, because you will not have civilization with the Negro slums. I mean, a Negro slum cannot create civilization. And that's what the Jew wants, a Negroid, Asiatic sort of a mongrel race that's easier to control. But you know, the Jew, like, they're never happy. They're never satisfied. They're to, like, look at them now. I mean, you know, they don't stop.
Yeah.
And I'll give it back to you again, Monica. You know.
Yeah, I just wanted to say about you were wondering how many countries had these laws against Holocaust denial. I can't verify this, but I did see the number 41 being tossed around somewhere. I can't remember where. I don't have the list of countries in front of me, but I can tell you that Canada has recently joined the ranks of the countries that has passed a law against Holocaust denial. So this is very interesting now. And they snuck it into the budget bill. Isn't that just such a sneaky little way to bring in a bill like this, that, you know, to put in a law that says you can't talk about a certain aspect of our history unless it's the politically correct version of it. And they snuck it into the budget bill. Now, oh my goodness, why would they do that? Mm. Yeah. So just want.
Yeah. They did that with the Noahide laws too in 1991.
Yeah. And I think every president has kind of reaffirmed, haven't they? I don't know exactly how that works, but
yeah, that's where you see all of the rabbis standing around, the Chabad Lubavitchers standing around the table saying, okay, go ahead, president, and sign our bill. You know, it just shows you who's really in control of our government.
That's right.
Who has been in control of our government for most, I think, most of the time, especially since 1913, the Federal Reserve Act. And you know, you brought up, like, it's just funny when I think of the people, the all of the hordes of migrants coming up from Africa in those giant ships. We didn't have giant ships like that in those days. The Jews only had slave ships, and they were only able to bring like 200 slaves chained together, laying in their own feces across oceans, and 90% of them would die, and then they would sell them when they got over here. The Jews dominated the slave trade, and now it's just another form of slavery. It's just they need the people who ended slavery out of the way, the white race, with the people that didn't see slavery as a way forward for humanity. We recognize that this is not right. And this enterprise that the Jews created and brought to America needed to end. And they have never forgiven us for doing that. And they've never forgiven or forgotten. And now they blame us. They shift the blame over to us. And then they use the people that that they claim are victims of this and to as a battering ram against us while they continually enslave them under their program, as they entice them into it with, you know, little goodies or whatever, the Black Lives Matter, you'll get you'll get paid $15 an hour to be Antifa and go protest or whatever they do.
Thank you, William, for bringing that subject up the way you did, because that's so exactly right how you just brought it up. They is the white race that brought slavery to an end. We never wanted them. It was a Jewish thing right from the word go, and they just blame everything that they've done on the next victim that they see in the crosshairs that they want killed, and that's us. I mean, this is it. This is the other races are expecting no less from us than to get this thing back under control, because we are the most capable. Nobody wants to be left alone with the Jew on this planet, because they know what's coming. I mean, the best of the Goyim deserve to be slaughtered. If we were to be slaughtered, then it would be the next group and the next group and the next group until they arrive in the slum district of Lagos or someplace like that. And there's not much to squeeze out of that area. So that's it. Like, that's where we're at. So thank you for bringing that up about the slaves.
The smarter ones among the black population, they know very well that what's happening. First of all, they know that the Jewish role in all of this, and they also do not wish the white race to disappear. That's the smarter ones among them, right? And they're being used as the weapon against us. They're, you know, the great replacement. And isn't it kind of strange how this, the mainstream calls this great replacement theory just a conspiracy theory, whereas they actually celebrated in the mainstream how by the year such and such, we whites will be in the minority in this this part of the country or that part of the country. And then they all cheer for that. And you know, the white zombies cheer for that too and think, wow, isn't that just great? Wow, we're so progressive. But then when we actually pointed out that that is happening, what they have just cheered for, they say, whoa, you conspiracy theorist, that's evil, that's hateful, that's racist. it boggles my mind, actually, how they can twist and turn those kinds of things so that they tell you it's happening, and then when you say, yeah, it's happening and we don't like it, oh, you hater, no, that's just a conspiracy theory. How do you wrap your head around that?
Yeah, that's just the thing. And that's where our responsibility lies. And I think that when people wake up and they realize how we've been schnookered, and enough people wake up that, you know, the power of those lies sort of falls away. I'm an advocate for, you know, peaceful solution to things. And I honestly believe that the most powerful weapon we have is the information. And then, you know, once we understand the information, we have we can't even participate in their system at all. It's kind of like, they need us to help them build their infrastructure that is an enslavement infrastructure. You know, it's based on finance. You know, if you keep working at a company that's trying to inject you, and you go and you work and you take the injection so you can keep your job, you are a moron. I mean, you can't go work somewhere else. Why would you do that? And if you've done that and you were a moron, I'm sorry. That you were a moron. Stop. Don't be a moron anymore. I'm gonna get back out of that and stop. It's not, maybe not too late for you.
I'm going to give you an example of, like, the Jews. They don't know when to stop. There's no stopping. They just overdo it all the time. I'm going to give you one example. I applied to work for IBM in Canada in 1977, and the last question they asked me, after I had passed all the other, requirements, was, Mr. Schaefer, are you willing and ready or prepared to move for the work here at our company? And it says, yeah, of course. And then in 40 years later, in 2017, I was in Canada on a speaking tour talking about psychological warfare. And after one of my presentations in Toronto, a young man came up to me and he says, I applied to work as a systems engineer for IBM, and you know what they asked me for the at the end? I had everything, flying colors, everything was perfect, and the guy asked me at the end, are you prepared to work together with a transvestite? And this guy says, he didn't understand. What has a question like that got to do with my work as a systems engineer at IBM? And he just kind of laughed and shook his head. And then the personnel guy, he says, I guess we have an attitude problem here. And he did not get the job. And then more recently, I also heard that IBM was expecting its employees to get a vaccination. So if I had applied for that to work there now, I would not apply there. I couldn't go there. In fact, if I was still there, I'd have to quit. To ask the employees to get a shot of death, I mean, how does that work out? If a company starts to inject its own employees with death shot, I mean, that's suicide. It doesn't make sense. So that just shows you how far the Jew has overstretched the every limit of anything. I mean, it's just so overdone right now. And that's why I say anybody who still goes along with it, like you were just saying, William, people have got to extricate themselves out of that system. And we have to start dealing with the reality around us. Whatever it is, we have to deal with it. We cannot continue down this path to the slaughterhouse.
Yeah. So much great stuff to talk about. And we got 6 minutes right now before the bottom of the hour break. Mike, I'd like to play the clip of what Monica and Alfred actually went to prison for. And I'd like the audience to hear the clip. It's 6 minutes long, and let's go ahead and roll that if we can get it in before the break.
Hello, I'm Monica Schaefer. I was born and raised in Canada, first-generation Canadian citizen of German heritage. My parents both came from Germany. They immigrated to Canada in 1951 and 52, respectively. There was a bit of a disconnect between what I experienced in the home life and what I felt outside the home. I loved the rich German traditions and culture that I grew up with, and yet I felt ashamed of my German-ness when I was at school or outside with my friends. I learned very quickly to hide my heritage. It started in the first week of school. Day one, I wore my beautiful little Dirndlkleid, a traditional German dress, and on day two, children were taunting me. "You forgot to take off your apron, ha ha ha," as they were running away. Or, "Heil Hitler, ha ha," again, taunting me. I didn't exactly know the meaning of that, but I knew it was not friendly. They were being cruel. That was very clear to me. I'm reminded just now of the plight of the indigenous peoples of North America. They were also made to be ashamed of their culture. I would like to share with you now a deep regret that I have for something which I would like to apologize to my parents for, but cannot, because they are no longer alive. Many years ago, I reproached my mother. You see, I had been thoroughly indoctrinated, as we all were. The stories seemed to be all around us, in school, in television, in the very air. And the evilness of Adolf Hitler was as deep and diabolic as imaginable. I said to her, to my mother, "Why didn't you, your friends, your folk, your family, why didn't you do something to stop these bad things from happening? Stop Hitler and stop these death camps? You should have done something. You must have known." I was really upset. My reproach was bitter. She listened. She paused, and very quietly, and in a sad tone of voice, she said, "We didn't know about any of that. We just did not know. We did not hear any about anything like that." Well, now I know why she did not know. It is because these things did not happen. It is only since the last couple of years, since about 2014, that I have begun to understand that this is the biggest and most pernicious and persistent lie in all of history. Everything has been turned upside down, on its head. Yes, there were detention camps. Nobody denies that there were camps. And yes, the prisoners were kept against their will. Again, nobody denies that. But these were work camps. The prisoners of the camps were being kept as healthy and as well fed as was possible in those terrible war years. They needed to be kept healthy. How else could they perform the work? It was war, and so the camps were basically armaments factories. And how much sense does it make, by the way, to have a hospital in a death camp? There were no gas chambers there. The only gas that was used was to get rid of the lice. Lice carried typhus, and typhus was a deadly and rampant disease. So they had to delouse the clothing to keep the people healthy. Now, why would they do that if the goal was to just exterminate the Jews? Makes no sense. That is the 6 million lie, as I now like to call it, in a nutshell. There is so much more to learn about this, and this is all readily available now in 2016 thanks to the digital age, with or without the thought laws. Back to my family. What a relief it is for me to learn that my parents and grandparents were not part of a people that suddenly became monsters overnight. The reproach which I directed at my mother, I wish I could apologize to her for this. I am, in effect, apologizing to her now, to her spirit. I would like to invite you to find out more by searching the following titles that had such a meaningful and healing influence on me. Thank you. Even if the sun don't shine, well,
want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, in trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
All right, folks, we're back. We are into a very deep discussion. This is William Repillum. I've got Monica and Alfred Schaefer. Just such a momentous time. You know, I've waited years to have this conversation. I remember, hearing about you going to jail. It was like when I first started waking up, Alfred, in about 2018. And then one other thing that was real massive injustice was what happened to Ursula Haverback, which I think was about in the summer of 2018. She's 92 years old now. She was 89 years old. She wrote a letter to the German government saying, knock it off with this Holocaust stuff. And she was went to her house and took her and put her in prison, 89 years old. It's just astonishing, just disgusting, kind of, you know, I mean, how disgusting can you be that you would do something like that to an 89-year-old woman who wrote you a letter and had an opinion that went against your disgusting narrative that you're using to murder the planet? I mean, that's just the more you think about it, the more indignant you become. And I remember sending this article and it being like, I think it was like a link from somebody that like David Duke or something, and people just had this Pavlovian response and wouldn't even look at what it was, and it just made me sick to my stomach. You know, I mean, it's just so awful. If you read that book, Hellstorm, which we mentioned earlier about what happened to the German people between 1944 and 1947 at the end of the war, you'll really get an understanding, and it will have an emotional effect on you. You will be brought to tears over it, and you will experience a sadness that you've never experienced before. And you'll feel, you know, I don't shy away from that kind of thing, because I see that as being alive, you know, and I still remember those moments where I remember listening to Erica when she was interviewing Thomas Goodrich, who wrote the book, Hellstorm. And I cried like I never had before. And I felt so alive in that moment, and I felt so human in that moment. And I really connected with what happened to the German people and the rest of Europe and the Russian people. And I just internalized it on a level that it just, you know, I guess that's the best. I can't describe it any better than that. Anyway, so we're back. We're at the second hour. We're probably going to take a couple calls here in a minute. I know, I think Mike, is Joe still waiting on the line? He wanted to make some comments here.
Hello. Yeah, William. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, Joe. Welcome.
How you doing? And I just want to say, well, God bless Monica and Alfred. I think that they're kind of like pioneers. And by the way, if you hear noise in the background, tell me, because I'm in a strange spot. They're pioneers, truth-telling. And I wanted to say, as you know, William, I'm a big fan of Dr. E. Michael Jones. He's got the book coming out, I think by the end of the year, The Holocaust Narrative. And his thesis, it makes a lot of sense to me. I just wanted to share it because it's a hopeful one. That the founding myth of the American Empire is this Holocaust, or we could call it maybe the Hoaxacost. But it's
That's
the founding
a good one.
Myth
like
of the American. Yeah, the Holocaust. It's the founding myth of the American Empire. In other words, the Jews used America to get their power. It seems, if you look at the news today, every day the American Empire is collapsing. It's happening by the hour. I mean, we're being humiliated on internationally and small and big ways. And that is a good indicator, because what's happened, I think, is that myth, that Holocaust myth, is collapsing. And so the sign of that is the empire. They're done with the empire, right? The Jews are done with the empire. They used us up. They looted us. They destroyed our culture. They infected us with their evil and satanic way of thinking and their perversions. They've destroyed our culture. They're using it. Now they're going to move on. All right? They're gonna, I don't know if they're going to move to Caesarea or whatever, or back to Israel. They've used our culture, so now there's no reason that they have to use us. And as a result, this narrative is collapsing. I think Monica and Alfred, thank you for being the truth-telling pioneers. I mean, even in small and big ways, you see like Kanye West and other little signs that are obviously not fully developed, but it's now possible to call out the people who are really the main people, as St. Paul said, the enemies of mankind. So God bless you both, and thank you for the amazing courage that you have shown.
Yeah, we're really seeing breaks in the firmament, aren't we? With some of these things that are happening, people calling out the Jews and naming them.
Oh, yeah.
The Jew taboo has been broken, I think. You know, Dr. Jones says, you know, you're not allowed to criticize Jewish people. Well, that means you're an anti-Semite. Well, wait a minute. Was Moses an anti-Semite? Was Jesus an anti-Semite? I mean, they were certainly very critical of Jews at that time.
Absolutely. I mean, Jesus in John 8:44, you are of your father, the devil. The works of your father you will do. He's a murderer from the beginning.
Exactly. I mean, I believe in conversion. You know, I'm a Christian, and I believe in conversion. I really believe this. If you're a Jew, you can change your life. But if you don't change, it's actually incumbent on the Christian, who has a culture based on Christian values, to stop you. We have to stop them from destroying our culture. I don't believe in violence. I'm not calling for violence. But we have to call them out and stop their evil plans.
Yeah, exposing it, you know, and sounding off the bullhorn to the world like exactly. We're doing right now. Yeah, Alfred, you wanted to add something.
Yeah, I'm just saying that the Jews themselves are now determining the level of the retribution by whether they're going to stop or not. We will use whatever force is necessary to have them stopped. And that's why they are determining it themselves. And as for the accusation of being an anti-Semite, that is a weaponized control word. And to be an anti-Semite is just to be Jew-wise. We understand what they are. If I don't like a dog biting my leg, I don't hate the dog, you know, by me getting rid of him from stopping to bite my leg. This is a disease. The Jews and their operating system, their so-called religion is nothing but a code of conduct for psychopathic criminal behavior, and it must be called out if we are to survive. And that's the way it
exactly.
is.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, very well put. And I say for you and Monica, the thing is, you have experienced firsthand what there is. When there's an opinion that's based on truth, they have to try and outlaw it. They cannot argue with the opinion. They have to try and cancel it. They have to outlaw it or outlaw the people that are saying it.
That's right, Joe. I can tell you that every single day of our trial, they, meaning the judge, the prosecutor, their team, so to speak, they proved to us that they are on the side of the lie and that we were on the side of the truth. And I mean, you know, there's lots and lots of details and stories to back up what I'm saying, but they proved it to us every single day of the trial that they were the criminals. So yeah, I mean, that was very well put what you said. And I think the fact that they are so afraid of the truth and that they are just going crazy with censorship, and they continue to ramp up the censorship on the internet and of course in the courts, that you can't even defend yourself and whatnot, that means that they are so afraid of the truth coming out to the general population. And so I think that would prove, or it demonstrates to us, that what you said earlier, William, and what you're saying, Joe, is that, you know, you're not advocating violence, but the fact that they're so afraid of the truth means that, yeah, it's possible without violence to settle this. But I think also what Alfred is saying, that they are determining whether there will be, you know, a violent pushback to this by their own level, I guess, of what they're
right.
doing. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, the way it works in history is, right, so they don't know boundaries, so they always push it too far. And God does allow people who are psychotically evil to take things so far, and then they destroy themselves. So I think that's the way it works out in history. I mean, there's a reason they've been thrown out of 109 countries in history, right? It's not a coincidence, right? So, but yeah, I agree with you both. So thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, and the interesting...
Keep up your great work.
Yeah, Joe, thank you so much for that call. And the really interesting thing about the 109 kickouts is that never once was there an extermination, was there? So how would anybody think that the 109th one was a pattern that fits in with what Europeans, how they behave? Europeans have generally been Christian people that believe in the Ten Commandments and believe in fairness to the peoples of the world. So if we are exterminated for this, because this is our general behavior, we've been brainwashed to believe that we're, you know, incredibly evil, and that's exactly the opposite of the truth. And that's what we have to start to understand. We have to get rid of this white guilt that we have. And, you know, even in the Bible, it says, behold, in Revelation 2:9 and 3:9, just a quick little excerpt, I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews. And really, actually, the Jew is a mistranslation of the word Christian. But are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. And then the Revelation 3:9 says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. So again, Jew being actually Christian, behold, I will make them come and worship before thy feet and know that I have loved thee. So that's where we're headed. We are headed in that, and that is exactly what you see coming, Alfred, I believe. But let me kick it. Let me kick it to you, Alfred. I get your comments. I know that I don't want to say I've heard you speak about Christianity, and most of Christianity now, I'll just preface with this, has been so infiltrated by the Jews, and so it just, I mean, the Christians, you know, you go to like churches and the priests are wearing masks, or the preachers are wearing masks. I mean, it's become really disgusting. It's been infiltrated and infested with a Jewish doctrine. It's not even really Christianity anymore, in my opinion.
These institutions have become a tool for the Jews. And that's, you said it right, they infiltrate and they subvert and they'll turn it for their own benefit. They would even, they will turn any organization over into their something, a tool for their own benefit if they are given the opportunity. They would turn over, you know, AE 9/11 Truth for their own purposes if they could. They would turn over these programs here that we're doing now for their benefit if they could. You know, that, and if you look at how the Christian church, that is the fundamental values that we were taught in a Christian upbringing were based on values that are just our common sense, that are in our genes from way before Christianity. And then what has been done with the Christian faith is a total corruption. And like you're saying, the Vatican is a Jewish central. It's like the Mossad headquarters. It's like Hollywood. It's just awful. I mean, the Pope, he's just a total New World Order. He's one of them. He's not one of ours, that's for sure.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the Pope is just, yeah, the Pope is the spokesman. It's just, it's disgusting. I just can't even, you know, what I walked into the church once, into a Catholic church to check it out once, and there was this room that had like all this multi-faith thing, and it was like all these religions. So it was like the church was just sort of cucking over to these other religions, including Judaism, which hates Christianity and preaches this doctrine of death. And how can you, you know, be a church and promote this and not know, and, you know, sort of bend over and take it like that? That's just unfathomable.
Well, the church has revealed themselves during this COVID scam when they shut down. They didn't go against what was being, you know, brought down on us, and they just basically went along with the narrative. So they really revealed themselves, didn't they?
Yeah,
absolutely. They also go along with this Fridays for Future stuff, and they go along with every single piece of this nonsense that the Jews are pounding us with. They're just like the sledgehammer that the Jews are using against us. In fact, the Jews had said they will use the Christian faith. They will destroy it. They will take it down. And by doing that, they take us down. And the only thing you get in the mainstream media about the churches and so forth is, oh, pedophile problems, blah, 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 blah. Not a single word about the fact that in the Talmud it says a 3-year-old non-Jewish girl is ideal for fucking and killing afterwards because she is guilty of seducing the rabbi, the holy man. I mean, this is so so warped, so sick, so grotesque. The abuse of using these institutions in the way that they do against us. You know, that's all I can say about that. And certainly not condemning the Christian faith as such, because I tell you, some of my best supporters when I was in prison were like Christian pastors who have seen through all this, and they're teaching that, you know, the core Christian values. So that's what we have to understand. We do not want to alienate people who are finding strength in the church, but they have to understand how much of what they're being taught in the official institutions is absolute nonsense and you know, bullshit.
Yeah, I just wanted to briefly say, because I know you have some more callers online, I also wanted to say that some people have had their awakening through a careful reading of the Bible, because it is written all
yeah,
over
right.
the Bible. Yeah, so anyway, but yeah. That's all I wanted to add
me,
to that.
Me included. Yeah, I read the Gospels. That's what I started with, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and that was really awakening for me. And I looked up all the places that they went across the Sea of Galilee, and then I internalized kind of like where Jesus was going on those journeys and whatnot. And then I having had been introduced to the truth about the history and everything, it just took on a whole new meaning for me. So I feel like I kind of became born again in that sense. Then, all right, we got. Thank you for bringing that. We have two callers. We've got Laura in Michigan. Laura, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Monica and Alfred. I'd like your opinion. Do you think that Putin is fighting the Jew world order for us? He's only a leader that's fighting it.
That's a mixed question or a yes-no sort of a thing. There are some points that he has not come clean on, that he must come clean on if your question can be answered with a yes. He's fighting it. He's come out with a lot of stuff, more than any other leader, but he is still I don't trust him in the end, because he has not come clean on some very fundamental questions which he has to come clean on. He has not mentioned in his big speech that he gave just recently, he did not mention 9/11 at all, and that would be a very easy one to mention for him. And he did not mention the hollow hoax at all. And he still did sort of hold up the great fatherland war kind of thing, implying that, you know, he beat the evil Germans kind of thing. So there's a lot that he has to still come clean on. I don't know if he's holding back on that because he's a tactical, chess player kind of thing. That is still, we'll still have to wait to find out the truth about that.
I'm just going to say
he did say real quick. He just said that he did say that the Jews were the main people in the Bolshevik Revolution. He did say that.
Yes, that's good. Mm-hmm. That's positive.
He's surrounded by so many Jews, and I think that he strung a lot of people along. He did say a lot of the right things, but I'm not banking on him. That's my short answer.
I'm just hoping he is fighting the Jew world order, because he's our only hope, as I can see. I don't see another world head of any country doing it. You?
I don't see a political solution to our problems. That's how I look at this. I don't see a political solution in terms of, okay, we're going to elect somebody, you know, we're going to change the government, because you know what? That system is completely dysfunctional. It's actually a Jewish system. There was Ezra Pound, a famous American poet, who said that democracy is Jew speak for a country run by Jews. So I don't see a political solution. What I do see is that we set up parallel systems to come through this, because I see a pretty big collapse coming. And we need to set up a parallel systems of, you know, basically how we can feed ourselves and house ourselves and do all these things. We do the work. We've always done all the work, the Gentiles. We do the work. So we just need to set up parallel systems. I don't see a political solution.
And that sounds like a daunting task, but I think it's something as simple as driving to you find out where your farms are in your local areas, and spend your Saturday driving out to one every Saturday. That'd be probably a good way to set up parallel systems. Drive out there and get to know that farmer. And if you can, talk about the information, you know, if you can spread it to them. But most importantly, you know, set up commerce
you know, set up the whatever, you know, just set up a relationship. It doesn't have to be complicated.
Absolutely. Start trading like certain what you can do, what they can do. You fill them up, inform them about what's going on. And that's the key right there, is because we will have masses of people all
like a
big tsunami coming over to our side, you know, begging, help us, to tell us what to do, help show us the way, because the system, the old Jew system, is just making people vomit. It's like you were saying, William, at the beginning, you cannot stand to watch the TV when you're in a place or something when it's running. It makes you vomit. It's just, you know, and that's the feeling that almost everyone's getting these days. It's unbearable.
Mm. Yeah, we got two more calls. Let me try to squeeze them in here real quick. We got thank you, Laura. We got Murr in Wisconsin. Murr, can you make it quick? Your question. We got to want to get one more call in after this.
All righty. Hi, good to hear all of
you. Hi. Yeah, thank you for calling.
There were 1,030 times officially that Jews have been expelled, and you can make it that 1,031 with Afghanistan, said Dennis Fecho. But Ursula Haverbeck, too, they wanted her books. She was reading, you know, in a live interview, how they were taken care of in these camps. And none of those camps even started these work camps where they had swimming pool and wrote home on postcards and the like. They didn't even start till 41. And that was because of communist infiltration. So they had to isolate them, you know. So, but they had theater in Auschwitz. My guess, King's the baby boom. You can look at that. They had a, you know, marriage suite. So it was. It's not at all what we're told. And the people loved him. They have something they say USA, but interpreted it's they love Adolf. Okay.
Yeah, I was listening to a fascist video last night, and people, I never heard cheers like that. It's not even at a football game. The cheers, the level of just joy and just cheers and everything like that, yeah.
Well, like the one lady in the parade there, they cut her out and isolated her. She's crying. But if you see the people on either side, these are tears of joy.
Yeah.
That's right. That's how they take these things and twist them right. Yeah. But excellent, excellent comments. Excellent.
Yeah, thanks, Murr. It's
good we're getting to know it anyway. Yeah, right. Thank you.
Thank you, Murr. I want to give Monica and Alfred a chance to tell people how to get in touch with them. We've got about 1 minute left here. So why don't, Monica, you wanted to mention your website.
Well, I wanted to mention the Truth and Justice for Germans .com website, and just because you were also mentioning resources, and that's a good place for some articles and videos are linked in there and whatnot. But Truth and Justice for Germans, the title kind of says it all. That's what we need. And I also have a website called freespeechmonica.com, and that's with a K. And so that's all I wanted to just get in there for that. And it's just been great talking to you, William. Thanks so much for having us on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm so excited about it, and I'm so glad we got a chance to do this. And if you, and Alfred, I don't know if you have a website too, but I know you can go on BitChute and find all kinds of, just look up Alfred Schaefer and you can find him there. Did you have a last comment there, Alfred?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Like, just look my name up, and if I'm not censored, then you'll find something.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you both so much. What a fantastic call we had. It went by so quick, and we'll do it again.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot, folks.
We must take America back. We need prayer in the schools and more things made in USA. It's the least we can do for the red, white, and blue. We must take America back. We must take America.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.